fighting for America.
We did exactly what needed to be done in order to catch those who were guilty on 9/11 and to prevent a further attack. And we were successful on both parts.
This report says it was not successful.
The report's full of crap.
Fighting for Idaho.
The president has the legal authority now. It's exactly the same legal authority that he had 6 years ago, and he didn't do anything about it. And since then, he has deported more than 2 million immigrants.
Fighting for you.
No, Kevin, yes. I logged 35,000 miles on my Chevy pickup in the last year.
I hope it wasn't a lease.
And it wasn't. And our roads aren't bad.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And here we are, blessed to be a part of your day. I do want to thank everyone from Idaho Chooses Life. I know it's a week late. What a wonderful event we had at Eagle Christian Church. Really great to see Congressman Franks there. It was a life-changing event. I want to thank everybody for having us be a part of that event. We are back, ready to go. Joining us, our great friend Chris Farrell from Judicial Watch, judicialwatch.org. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm not bad. Before we get rolling on just the truth-telling that goes on at Judicial Watch, what do you make of the brouhaha over this Senate intelligence report? To me, I think it's sour grapes.
It is, and I guess what's really most disturbing about it is that there are so many errors, so many faults in the report itself, and it's such a dishonest document. How can you pretend to do a full and thorough investigation of something without ever actually interviewing the persons directly involved? And it doesn't pass the giggle test. I mean, if you were to conduct a prosecution of somebody for a crime and you never interviewed the subject, the witnesses, the suspects, the whole cast of characters with direct knowledge, how could you ever possibly even put on any sort of a case? And so this is an instance where the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senate Intelligence Committee, drew a conclusion and then went out and cherry-picked tidbits to cobble together to come up with a narrative that they were interested in advancing, and the facts be damned.
Well, and you go to your website, and you even have this at December 12th, CIA documents obtained by Judicial Watch in 2010 show Congress approved of enhanced interrogation.
Yeah, absolutely. And, this is a case where Nancy Pelosi famously developed amnesia back in May of 2009 when it was quite clear that based on the documents we had obtained through a lawsuit, we had compelled the production of the briefing schedules when the CIA had gone up to the Hill and briefed the leadership on exactly what they were doing. And, there are records, documents that point to when these briefings were conducted and who was present. And, of course, Pelosi was there, and they told her exactly what was going on, as they did with all the leadership. And most famously was Pelosi then claiming that, they lied and they didn't say what they really meant. There's a lot of double talk and finger pointing. But all these guys had full knowledge. And, in fact, when you hear the interview of some of the leadership of the CIA who are directly responsible for doing this, they say that they were pressed repeatedly to do more, to do everything under the sun to possibly get information. So this is a typical two-faced, selective memory, historical hindsight. It's nonsense. I think the vice president, former Vice President Cheney, aptly used the word crap to define it.
Well, you live in this world of truth-telling versus the media. Is it the Democrats that are at fault or the media for just perpetrating the myths and not doing any fair or accurate reporting, sir?
This is, you lie and I'll swear to it, right? This is the instance where there's very selective memory, where suddenly reporters who have done work 3, 4, 5 years ago suddenly can't remember what they've done or who they talked to. And so in this case, you've got an agenda-driven, political agenda-driven report that's put out, and all the people involved suddenly developed amnesia, and there's no real scrutiny. There's no tough questioning from the media. They simply take dictation and repeat mindlessly the things that are told them. The same is true on the Gruber videos, right? So this private person digs up Gruber's statements in these public forums where he's calling the American public idiots and morons, Why wasn't CBS News? Why wasn't CNN? Where were all these sort of professional skeptics, these journalists who are paid to do this? Where were they? And why did it take the media weeks to latch on to what this private person had uncovered concerning Gruber? They're simply not interested. They don't care. In fact, in many instances, they're allied 180 degrees out in the opposite direction, where they're cheerleaders for the administration. That's why.
Well, in the world that we live in the world that Judicial Watch tries to hold folks accountable, how much of a challenge is it when you have people that, let's say, don't watch Jon Stewart, watch the network news, and instead of challenging what they're seeing, they just believe it as fact, as they believed Candy Crowley during those debates versus, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama?
It's very challenging. I mean, that's why a lot of the work that we do, we rely on documentation. I teach a class, and when I talk to students, I just tell them, people lie, records don't. And so we obtain records and documents often through the open records law. And, it's very difficult to unring that bell or to pretend things didn't happen when you have real live documents with people in their own words and their own emails and their own reports saying something quite opposite. Because you and I can disagree over a sort of political philosophy or editorial position or ideas of what should or shouldn't happen. But the documents, they speak for themselves, right?
Exactly.
So that's an important part of what we do.
Chris Farrell joining us. Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. He is from Judicial Watch. Let's take a look at some of the stuff that hasn't been reported. And we go to your website, judicialwatch.org. Documents reveal Obama Health and Human Services paid, millions of dollars for 4 months of housing of illegal alien children?
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's true. So Health and Human Services engaged in a contract with Baptist Children and Family Services. And the language says, basic care, which one would think would be, a safe place to sleep and eat and get cleaned up and maybe do a little activities and some education to keep the kids busy. All those things I think are reasonable. Whether you like it or not, the kids are here. You got to do something with them. You can't just ignore them. And so we have an obligation, despite whatever the insanity of the policy that created these conditions. We can argue that forever. But once the kids are sitting here, these little kids didn't do anything. And of course, some of them are not too little. Some of them are, 16 and 17 year olds who know a lot better. But there are a bunch of little ones, right?
Right.
And so I don't think, no one would argue with taking care of them and making sure that they're safe and healthy and, washed up and have a good place to sleep. That's not the issue. But in this case, Health and Human Services has gone completely overboard. And there's this $182 million contract with Baptist Children and Family Services, and that only covers a few months, really, of housing these illegal alien children. And to me, my personal opinion is the contract looks heavily padded. And I'll give you a for instance. They wanted to increase the shower capability, the shower stalls, for these kids to get washed up. And that's reasonable. You got a bunch of kids, and you got to get them through and get them cleaned up. But they wanted to add 20 shower stalls to the facility. And in order to add 20 shower stalls, they were wildly rounding up the price, basically saying each shower stall is $1,000 a pop. And by the time you got done installing them, the price jacked itself up to $80,000 for 20 showers. Well, our own analyst here at Judicial Watch went ahead and did a quick Home Depot check, right? And they found out for about $165, $170, you could get a new shower stall. So by any stretch of the imagination, these shower stalls, they don't magically go from $170 to $1,000 a piece, right? And even if you include other materials and labor, 20 shower stalls does not equal $80,000. It just doesn't happen. And so it looks like there's some inflation, some padding, there's some extravagance. They have some, I understand keeping the kids busy with some markers and paintbrushes and papers, that's fun. But there's something called, I don't get this, something called multicultural crayons. Just that name, kind of drives me off the edge, right? It's crazy. I don't, what's wrong with Crayola, right? But multicultural crayons. So there's a lot of this, and there's a lot of money involved. And unfortunately, this becomes a cottage industry. There's social services people who are well-intended and who want to do the right thing, but frankly, there's just too much money involved. And you have people who I think are, you know, willing to kind of bend the rules to let these contracts. It's just more taxpayer fraud.
Chris Farrell joining us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. As we end the year, Chris, what do you think is the most egregious event that y'all have covered at Judicial Watch?
Probably the one that's the most dangerous, the one that's most corrosive to the Constitution. It has to be the IRS scandal. There's other stuff that's offensive, obviously. Benghazi, right? We have an ambassador and two security officers and one other Foreign Service officer dead. You know, how do you fix that? You don't. They're dead and their families suffer that forever. I'm not trying to diminish that. But I think the one that has the longest lasting sort of consequences negatively for the Constitution, for our republic, is this political manipulation of the IRS by the administration to attack their enemies. That is this would make Richard Nixon blush, right? This is an abuse of a government agency, one of the more feared government agencies, that's able to seize your property, your money, your business, and using it as a hammer against anybody who opposes the philosophy of the administration. That is gravely dangerous stuff. That's the one that's probably the one with the greatest long-term consequences.
One of the things that scares me, though, and I keep harping on this, is the disservice that the press is doing by not objectively covering these events. As you said, Chris, go back to Gruber. And it was a private citizen, and the networks covered it up, continued to cover it up, and whatever. I mean, when Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough are getting instant messages from the White House during their show on MSNBC, that, in my mind, that's editorial journalistic corruption.
I couldn't agree with you more. They're completely in the tank for them. I mean, these are, you know, I was a good friend, a colleague, is Cheryl Atkinson. We even represent Cheryl Atkinson in some FOIA matters. And she said, you know, the days when the press would follow the government around and be able to freely ask questions and go to press conferences and those sorts of things, it was a healthier environment. Now, you know, the government summons the press and they hold staged press conferences where certain people are told to ask certain questions, and it's very scripted. See, that's Stalinist. That is straight out of the Soviet Union. When the government announces when it will be available to reporters and then has, you know, scripted give and take Q&A. And that's what we have now. There is not a free and open press that aggressively conducts inquiry and asks questions and interviews people. This is it's an environment where the government summons the media and then doles out information. It's very frightening.
More coming up with our great friend Chris Farrell next. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. You can always check him out at judicialwatch.org. Time for traffic.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up next hour, our great friend Hotel Ryan. Big announcement. He's leaving, and we're always very proud of him. And, the social media spectrum that we have here, you can always find out what we're doing on Facebook and Twitter and all that. And Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, going, I missed the segment on Ryan. What happened? Well, listen in the 7 o'clock hour. It's still radio. It still matters. And joining us once again, Chris Farrell of Judicial Watch. JudicialWatch.org. How important is it, Chris, that you get people listening here at 580 KIDO to support what you're doing?
Hugely important. We only operate, all of our funding is from mom and pop donations. There's no government grants. There's no big foundation or big business subsidizing our operations. 99% of our funds come from individual Americans who say, hey, listen, I like your work, and they write a check to us for $25, $50, $100, whatever it is that they can afford. We get a tiny bit of money from, a larger, generous donor or two. But it's all grassroots, real live Americans about somewhere between 400 and 450,000 around the country who say, we like what you're doing and keep doing it, and here's a check for 50 bucks or whatever they can afford. And that's what pays the bills. That's what keeps the lights on. That's what helps us do what we do. So and there's nobody behind the scene pulling strings. We're not some front group for some other organization. We are absolutely 100% independent. There's myself, Tom Fitton, who's our president, and our chief lawyer, Paul Orfanides, and a staff of about 40-some-odd additional folks. And we do what we do, and we're proud of it. And, you know, we've been through the mill, too. We've been attacked by the IRS. We were audited, and I'm very proud to say that we came out without a single finding, not one finding against us. That audit started under the Clinton administration years ago, as you might imagine. They weren't too thrilled. When the IRS agent showed up at our door, his smart aleck comment to our receptionist was, well, what do you expect when you sue the president?
Amazing. Amazing. Chris Farrell, let's talk a little bit about what's next. And a lot of folks, and I have people on Facebook all the time going, well, Benghazi's over, Benghazi's over. The House cleared Benghazi. Is Benghazi over?
That's absolute baloney. That's absolute baloney. I mean, it's just wrong. It's a lie. It isn't true.
What's the latest?
Well, I think what's particularly interesting is documents we've just obtained in the last week. Which show that there was a furious battle going on between the people charged with security for the Benghazi complex, the special mission compound. It wasn't really a consulate. It was an oddball, ad hoc setup. And that particular contracting question had to do with a group, something called Blue Mountain Group, with the people that were hired to secure the compound. And right up to 9/11, September 11th, 2 years ago, there was a fight between the two entities, the Blue Mountain Group and the State Department, over who was really authorized to secure the place and who had a license to operate. And so while the State Department says, oh, we try to secure our embassies and protect our people, baloney. Read the documents on our website. Not only did they have unlicensed contractors guarding the place, when you read the contract documents and the reports that came back to the State Department, the February of 17th Martyrs Brigade, which was this glorified street gang that was hired to guard our embassy or our special mission compound, these thugs, they were fighting themselves. You had individual guards physically attacking their leaders. You had groups within the guard force threatening that Al-Qaeda was going to blow up the compound there. All this going on as they approached the September 11th anniversary. So the notion that the State Department had any kind of a handle on what was going on to secure that compound is nonsense. And the documentation, the actual security guard contract documents, are on our website, and folks can read them. So the idea that there's any sort of full accountability or story about what was going on in Benghazi is preposterous. I still want some United States government official to tell me why we were there. Every other Western power had pulled out of that city. Why were we there and what were we doing? I want simple declarative sentences. Explain it to me.
One of the things that irritates me is the idea that people make jokes about Benghazi.
That is part of the technique. They want to turn it into a punchline.
And here we have Americans who have died, Americans who were abandoned, and yet we have the press, the media, and everybody else trying to put that in with the black helicopter crowd.
Correct. Correct. The idea is to marginalize and trivialize anyone who would ask a question about it, so you seem preposterous, you seem cartoonishly, you know, you're a moron, essentially, if you ask the question. And that's a technique that's used to marginalize people like that and to trivialize them. So you not only can you not even bring the subject up, or you risk being, you know, thought of as mentally deficient in some way, but if you do want to engage in the facts, well, you really can't be taken seriously.
Our great friend Chris Farrell with this final thought. Apparently, deportations at an all-time low. Of course, the Obama administration, with their friends in the press, tell us how deportations are at an all-time high.
Well, I can tell you firsthand from my sources, both in the Border Patrol and in Texas DPS, their state police, who've been sent down to the border by Governor Perry, that when guys come across who would ordinarily be apprehended and processed, the Border Patrol guys have told the Texas DPS officers, forget about it, just let them go. Or they do pick them up, and they bring them to a processing station, and the thing that they're most worried about is getting them a Greyhound bus ticket, finding out where they want to go, and getting them happily on their way to some other place in the United States. That's their priority.
Our great friend Chris Farrell with us. Please support Judicial Watch, judicialwatch.org. Chris, thank you. Have a Merry Christmas, sir.
To you, Kevin. Thank you.
All right, Chris Farrell with us. Coming up next, we have this big situation in Australia, the ISIS there. Of course, in our country, all we seem to be doing is ripping the CIA for doing their job, right? Plus, one state wants to follow Idaho's lead. We'll tell you about that next. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Feeling like I'm actually living under a bureaucratic dictatorship.
Hold on, my friends, to the Constitution and the Republic for which it stands.
I am disgusted with what President Barack Obama is doing with immigration.
You'll have to pry my free speech from my cold, dead voice box.
Let's get it started.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Let's get it started.
6:38, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, one state wants to follow Idaho's lead, but the big story internationally has to be, well, this situation involving whether to or to not torture.
Unknowable value to these techniques, to waterboarding, near drowning, slamming people against the wall, hanging them in stress positions, confining them in small boxes or coffins, threatening them with drills, waving guns around their head as they are blindfolded.
Waving guns around their heads. Anyway, that's Andrea Mitchell. Look, we have a free and open press in our society today, but that really doesn't give the media the right to continue to pervert the stories that are going on. And yeah, I use that, pervert what's happening. Did you ever think that we would live in a world where our media has a lower approval rating than Congress? And we can talk about national and local media as well. And the media, it's funny, I'll see somebody on television sometimes, and you know, nationally, I'll go, wow, they're working a lot. Look, national TV is very easy. You get on for 3 or 4 minutes and you're good. It's not like you that are going out there having to put on an extra coat today because you're filling up the potholes on 84, or you're expanding the connector, or in fact, you're one of these folks painting the roads, if you will, or on the construction side of a jump or what have you. That's not real work. And I think sometimes, and maybe it's our generation, the next generation, they don't watch television. They stream everything. Everything is YouTube and everything is their tablets. So the TV prestige does not translate. And I think that we see this today, and that's why I'm blessed to be with you, just because we get to tell the truth as much as we can. When we're taking a look at, we have the press on our television and everywhere else actually giving the other side of the story. How many of you remember September 11th? How many of us have talked about Benghazi and other places? And I'm sitting here trying to put into words my outrage that the press is attacking our government for doing the right thing. If anything, I would say that we have been too soft with these terrorists. These folks live in on rocks. They have no problem beheading folks. They have no problem torturing people. They know we're soft when they see our attitudes. Whether it's marriage, whether it's women's rights, whether it's homosexuality, they believe that we are the infidel, that we are soft, and that we must be destroyed. So to get that information from them, we can't have a lawyer. I mean, our criminal justice system, to some degree, is already a joke. Is it not? Where we give people these rights, and they have rights and everything else. But, I mean, the real hidden secret with the criminal justice system is that if you have money, you can buy justice. If you don't have money, you can't buy justice. You get the public defender who's busy working for three or four other people. And Timmy, the public defender, means well, but he doesn't have the golf club membership with the judges and the big money prosecutors. He just doesn't, right? So bear that in mind when we're talking about justice. Do we really want to put these terrorists in time out? And yet here we have the unacceptable actions of the media attacking the CIA.
Or which of these techniques could be used if, as the director of Central Intelligence, you and another president or this president were faced with an imminent threat? Could there be another covert finding and rulings and advice from the Attorney General that would lead you and your successors to say, we should do this because there could be some value to prevent an attack on America?
Would you do it again? Would you do it again? Shame on you, Andrea Mitchell. And as I've said before, having lived on the outside for a week on my year-delayed honeymoon with my wife, Dorothy, I had a chance to live like everybody who doesn't listen to talk radio. And it's, you know, life on the outside is quite enjoyable. You don't get stressed out. You don't worry about Benghazi. Oh, look, Congress. I had a talk with the lady in the Nashville airport. She goes, well, bless their hearts. They're working on Saturday. She happened to be working on Saturday. It's just how out of touch things are. You know, we have one congressman with his social media having him on the phone talking to constituents. Well, good for him. That's great. That's outstanding. But the fact that we lack the critical thinking skills to hold these folks accountable, I can't get over this. And another thing that I can't get over, and coming up we're going to talk about how one state is thinking about emulating the great state of Idaho, and they should, more states should, when it comes to this issue and other issues. Certainly our government should. Our government should emulate us when we're talking about a balanced budget and everything else, right? But on the other hand, I'm having trouble looking at this story that Maggie O'Mara talked about moments ago, and it's this big for the second Saturday in a row. We've had people marching, I guess this time in Boise, about no justice, no peace. I guess it's called Boise Solidarity. It's a national call to action. A group of protesters, looks about like five of them, marched through the streets of downtown Boise on Saturday. And they say the events of Eric Garner, Tamara Rice, and Michael Brown are examples of what they call injustice. If you look at the Sunday paper, there you have the nice kiss goodbye to Chief Masterson. Well, then who do these people hold accountable? Do they hold Mayor Beter, who refuses to come on any local media unless they're giving him some plaque or award? I mean, really, that's embarrassing that the mayor of Boise, who we've sent out 1,000 invitations, won't come on this program. Well, good. We don't need you. This show isn't about politicians. But nobody covers that. So is the marchers, are they going up against the mayor who hired the police chief? Are they protesting the police chief that many have credited with doing a remarkable, outstanding, exemplary job here? Except I guess somebody's suing the police department for messing something up. That was on Channel 7, I guess, the other night. Or are they saying individual officers that keep us safe are to blame? Or, as I would say, are they misguided nitwits that want to join a national movement and have to have some type of national movement here? When we take a look at Black Lives Matter, Hispanic Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, we're dividing ourselves. And the outsiders, the bad people, win, in my opinion. In my opinion, we're all in this together, and quite frankly, we live in the best community on God's green earth. We don't have a lot of traffic fatalities, thank God. We don't have a lot of crime, thank God, due to great police work. And we have a community that values faith, family, and freedom, and guns. There's no better place in the world to live in this country if you have a family. And you compare that with the marchers. Rhonda Coleman, a Channel 7 story here, made it to the march. She has two black children of her own and says, for the people who say that race doesn't matter, it does. And class matters, she adds. I don't care where I live. I will get that message any way that I can. I want my children to have the same freedom I have when I'm on the street and not be fearful when they see a police car. Well, how many people are fearful when they see a police car? I'm fearful. I might be speeding. I'm fearful. Nobody likes to have their authority taken away. Our founding fathers were fearful. But how ridiculous is this that we have another march going on, this one at the Anne Frank Memorial, talking about Black Lives Matter, all life has value, all human life. And here's the thing that I get. I mean, most of them are white, number one, which is great. But number two, the hypocrisy of it that we brought out, that in Missouri, the white protesters were not allowed to protest because they couldn't have the shared experience, so they couldn't do the death-ins. And I think you got to be careful. I think the NFL has to be careful. The NBA has to be careful. It's the police that keep those folks safe. You know, we have folks on all the time that talk about the evils of the police and the warrior cop and the one state government, if you will. But at 580-5436, is it really that bad that we have to have a Ferguson march? What's next? Meridian? They're going to march on the village? What's next? Nampa? Caldwell? To me, hey, on one hand, it's great. They're proving their point. Black lives matter. I think all American lives matter. That's why I support the CIA. But to do this here, in my opinion, these guys are misguided. In my opinion, it proves that they don't have a lot to do on a Saturday night, and they should find something. It's an insult to this community, in my opinion. Maybe you agree with them. 580-5436, I'd like to hear from you next. 649 coming up, one big state says, we want to be like Idaho. Well, maybe. We'll tell you who they are and what that means and the big issue. Plus, your thoughts on Ferguson in the Treasure Valley. Misguided or its time has come. 649, time for traffic.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right. Apparently, most of you don't want to talk about Ferguson. And Jim and Star, please don't text me and give me your thoughts. This is a call-in show. You know, I go away for a week, and I have people saying, where is Kevin? We want to talk to Kevin. And we've had, an hour of me just talking to you. And maybe that's great, and maybe that's wonderful. But, you know, it is an effort where we go back and forth and yap. So a few things we are talking about here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Is this big Furman-like march or Ferguson-like march where people are talking about end the cycle. Okay, what cycle are we ending here in Idaho? Granted, we don't have a lot of news here, so this is the big news. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 10 people at most, and saying Black Lives Matter, end the cycle, all human life has value, justice for all, I can't breathe. Quite frankly, I think these folks need to get a life. Now, I know we can't say that in the sanitized, politically correct world that we live in. But come on, these things don't happen here. And you want to go to a real place, go to Portland. Go hang out in San Francisco. Go to the East Coast. Those folks are stressed out all the time. But stuff like that doesn't happen here. Is it a news story? I think these folks are misguided. That's one thing. And how about this? You think that everybody has a right to open carry? Apparently not in the Lone Star State. Long depicted as the rootin' tootin' capital of the American gun culture, Texas is one of the few states with an outright ban on open carry of handguns. That could change. We'll tell you more about that in a minute. Let's go to Patriot Ray with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, my brother. How are you this morning?
Me? I am rested and agitated as always, yes.
Well, good. You need to be. You need to stay up on top of everything. Hey, you know, this whole deal about Ferguson, the media keeps playing it up. They never talk about Brown being the person he really was. They always talk about it just a goody two-shoes, just like everything else they do. They just don't get it. Or they do, and they're just trying to incite this stuff. And personally, I think a lot of it is just trying to incite the mix, because our president sure hasn't brought the people together, and he has had the greatest opportunity of any president to bring the people together. But he hasn't done it. And Eric Holder is just a race baiter. So you get these people together, and they just continue the dialogue of, hey, we've got to get people stirred up. That's what it feels like to me anyway.
Patriot Ray, thank you, sir.
Have a good one.
All right. To Jim in Middleton with Kevin Millard, 580KIDO. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin. Welcome back. Hey,
thanks.
Couple of points, Kevin. First of all, I want to say that, you know, I listened to your show last week while you were gone and listened to Chris Troupis. And that's the kind of attorneys I do like. So I don't want you to think I don't like all attorneys. He's a good guy, and I hope the guy continues to run for office. He has my support. And he's one of the few Greeks like myself that don't drink the Democratic Kool-Aid. Now, on to number two. Kevin, we do need to break the cycle with the minorities and the blacks. There is a big problem there. And that is the corruption of the Democratic Party on their backs. We need to help them become responsible, educated, and loosen the grip that the Democrats have on these people. Let's help them make them independent, hardworking citizens like the rest of us. That's what we need to keep shouting from the rooftops about, how this administration and previous administrations on the left will literally keep these people
keep them down. Jim, got to run. Thank you for the call. Thank you for listening. Traffic now. It is 13.